Well, we're preaching through 1 Peter, and we're getting close to getting done. Look at 1 Peter number 5. And while you find your place there, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, I did hear the story about this old couple that was eating in a restaurant, and they got in their car. They drove about 3 or 4 or 5 miles down the interstate, and then the lady said, "Oh, I've got my glasses." And that fella, her husband, he was just fuming. "What do you mean you forgot your glasses?" He said, "Yeah, I need to go back and get my glasses." He said, "Well, if we go back and get your glasses, we got to drive another. There's not an exit for another 5 miles. We got to go all that way and then turn around and come back and get off this exit and get those glasses." And he was just, "What else you want me to do?" "Oh, nothing. We're going to go back." And so he was grumbling, though. And so you know how you do. "So, oh, no, we're going to go back." But you grumble all the way down. Got to the next exit that you could get off. Turned around, went back underneath the interstate and headed back. And came all these way that 5 miles and then another 3 miles that they'd already traveled. And so he was just cussing and cussing. Not really cussing, but you know how you do. You don't have to clack, clack, clack. And so they finally pulled into the parking lot. I said, "Well, hurry up. Go in and get your glasses." And she said, "All right, I'll hurry up." And so she gets out of the car. And then he pushes down. He said, "Hey, you're in there, get my..." So sometimes we blame anybody for something that we don't want to take credit for. So verse number 5 of 1 Peter 5, "Likewise, ye younger..." Remember that last time we talked about the elders, the leaders of the group, and that they're among you, exhort as he said, "I'm also..." But now he's going to turn his attention to the younger. "Likewise, in the same fashion, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, because of these things, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." I want to preach for a little while about that, humbling yourselves. There's a big battle going on in our current culture, in our current day that we live in, and we minister in, but we also just have our beings in, and we this struggle or this battle that's going on is about this humility versus arrogance. You say, "Well, that's always been going on." It has, but there seems to be ramping up in this thing of trying to get us for self-promotion. Let me explain what I mean. According to Pew Research, 40% of U.S. adults follow social media influencers. You're not familiar with one of those is, or they're on the social media platforms, and what their job is to try to influence you, to get sway you to some product or to follow them, but then they get contracts or get advertising dollars from people, and so much so, I'll get to that in just a little bit, that some of them are making a great living that way, but Pew Research also says that 20% of adults get their news from these influencers, not news sources and not even news sites, but from the influencers that they're following on social media. Well, Storybox.io, another website, says this: there are 127 million influencers in the world. People that are doing this, that's their main job. You know, it used to be that young people would say, "Well, I want to be an accountant, or I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer." Now we've got many, many thousands, millions of them. They're saying, "I want to be an influencer, I want to be a YouTuber, I want to do these things." So much so that this same website says that 30% of influencers, 30% of that 127 million, are able to generate a full-time income just by being an influencer on social media, on those websites, and getting people to like, share, tag, subscribe, and follow, as they leave that at the end of most of their videos. 30% of them are able to generate a full-time income from being an influencer. That's their main activity on social media. And then one more stat for you, according to Statista, another website.com, as of 2023, there was a $21.1 billion value in these influencers. That's how their business, as it were, that's what it's worth. But it's probably, since 2023, increased greatly, because from 2019 to 2023, it had tripled in that 4 years. So I'm sure in the last half, again possibly, but it's increased greatly, and so over $21.1 billion value. So you say, why are you saying this? I'm saying all this because our young people are seeing folks that their main job is self-promotion. Because you understand, just like a person does for a salesman, we have several folks that do that for a living. Salesman, you have to sell your product, and in some ways you have to sell yourself because they want to buy from somebody who's successful. And so it's easy to get in that realm where you just say, I'm supposed to make it all happen. I'm supposed to make myself out to be the best person ever in this field. And see this phenomenon of social media influencers out there could be teaching a young or generation of young people that what you have to do is convince people that you're the expert, you're the best, you're the one most wonderful person, all of these, so all you have to do is follow my influence, and then I'll get compensated generously for it. Follow my influence, and then I'll show you all the things that you need to know. And you can see how that's a dangerous spot for people to go. I'm not saying it's wicked, and I'm not saying that people are bad that do it. There's many wonderful people that do it. I'm just saying that there is a danger to get yourself puffed up with pride if all you think, or all you try to convince people of, I should say, is that you know everything about this and that you are the expert that people need to listen to. I think about this. Often Christians like us think that the battle of your life is not to become some drunken adulterer that defames God's name and embarrasses your family. That would be a good life not to live that way. And sometimes we think, well, it's a great battle is not to become a thief or a cheat or somebody that just has a bad reputation for the Lord. Testimony for him. And those are all battles, but probably the battles that will get us quick, those ones I just mentioned, are us feeling superior, better, holier than thou, more ready to do things, being puffed up with pride in where we are living and thinking that we've really got a corner on how to live for God. You know, when Christ was on the earth, he had a lot more unkind things to say about those religious people who were puffed up with all of their ability and all their pride than he did about the people who he was ministering to. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And those people that looked down their long noses at other people for how they were living and what they were doing, Christ had the sternest words for them. So I say it like this, even our distinct walk for the Lord, even trying to live right, even that can cause us to be lifted up with pride because I don't do those things. I don't live like that. And it's not just that you look down your nose at people outside the church. We'll look down our nose at people inside the church. Well, I don't know why they do that way. I don't know why they dress that way. I don't know why they live this way. And I'm saying that it can cause us to be lifted up with pride. Somebody gets saved. Somebody starts living different. They drop off some of the things that they used to do, and that's a wonderful thing, and they clean up their life, and they clean up their language, they clean whatever. But then they get proud of how far they've come. And then in many times, they've just swapped one sin for another sin. And so I'm saying all of these things because this passage of Scripture, these couple verses, tell us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And as we humble ourselves and we let God elevate us to whatever level he wants us to be elevated at, it's contrary to what the world is preaching to us right now. Because the world is preaching to a generation of young people that you need to promote yourself. Because if you don't promote yourself, then nobody else is going to. You need to put yourself up here. And now we're incentivizing that and we're making it monetarily advantageous for them themselves up because we're giving those millions of people a lot of financing because we're following them through the avenue of social media influencers. So let's look back in the Scriptures. That's all just some introduction. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Look at the tone of this passage. We see the need for wisdom is given. Submit yourselves unto the elder. There's something about that generation, that person that's above you, be it in age or be it in their faith, that is beyond you, that's walked further than you have, that you ought to be looking to and you ought to be gaining wisdom and insight from them. The Scripture says, submit yourselves unto the elder. And I think that there's something that all of us have access to that keeps us from asking an elder for their advice, their wisdom, or their insight. You know what it is? Google. We don't have to ask many people for much anymore. Ask ChatGPT, it'll give you a rundown of what you need to know about these different things, or Google something. My dad said that I realized some years ago that there weren't as many old people around to ask. He said, I used to say, well, who used to own that farm down out Evans Road when you went to Cottageville Evans Baptist Church, and then out there, who used to own that farm? He said, I realized that there weren't as many old folks anymore to ask those questions. And he said, then John, one day it dawned on me, there was a bunch of these young boys asking me stuff. So I think I became the old man. And so that used to be the way that it naturally took place. But now we don't even usually ask those older folks. And I can tell you why I think we don't. It's the same sin that we all struggle with. It's pride. I don't think that we want to be seen as somebody who doesn't already know what we need to know. We've been fooled into thinking that we ought to have it all figured out. But my friends, you do yourself a great big favor if you would just drop some of that pride and you would submit yourselves unto the elder, and the principle is given, that person that's been down the road further than you do, you would do yourself a great big favor if you would submit yourselves unto the elder. That's talking spiritually, but it's also true in other areas of your life. You would just be a little bit humble and say, I need to ask somebody what they know about this subject. So we see that the wisdom is given there. Young people, let me challenge you. If you're a teenager or a young adult, let me challenge you to find some older person in the faith. It's in the scriptures. You'll find 1 and 2 Timothy, and you'll find other passages. The younger are supposed to learn from the elder. But I'm telling you, we have this thing that pushes up against us, and we don't want to ask those further down the road because we want to be seen as already knowing all that we need to know. Humility is what we need. We need the need for wisdom, but we also need we have a need for wisdom, but we also have a need for humility. So a biblical church, if it's what it's supposed to be, it shouldn't be a generational war. It shouldn't be that, wow, the people really run the things, or the young people, we're finding out the new way of how we can do it with young people. Instead, it ought to be that everybody appreciates each other. The younger learn from the elder, and the elder appreciate the youth of the younger. I can see the solution to this generational war. It's found right here in Scripture, and that is, second in that verse, yea, all of you be subject one to another. So you want to know the solution for the generational wars of some churches, that the old people get to run everything and nothing that a young couple wants to do, or nothing that a young family wants to do even gets any airtime? Or there's some other churches that it's very well known that, well, this is a youth church. We don't cater to the old folks. Instead, the scriptural way is to have a church for all generations, for the senior citizens down to the newborns and everybody in between. And so the solution is all believers are supposed to be subject to each other. That's what the scripture says in verse number 5. And then here's the danger, though, when we submit to one another, as it says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Danger, if I submit to somebody, what if they do me wrong? Well, that brings us to the second point, and that is that we're all supposed to submit to God. We fear that if we submit to somebody, if we say, well, I'm going to trust you in this, what if they lead me wrong? Really, that's where faith comes in. We just trust the Lord. And so I'm saying here that this need for wisdom is found, as he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the other, and yea, all of you be subject one to another. Harry Ironside, pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois, for some time, and then also wrote many commentaries. He said this, pride is a barrier to all spiritual progress. So we want to go forward for the Lord. That barrier to keep us from going forward, according to him, is that pride. It doesn't matter what avenue of life you live in, your work or my work, pride slips in. In my realm, in my world, when you go to pastors' fellowships and you go talking about, it's how much is this, is how many of you run, how many churches go to the church. And I told somebody back here the other day, they were here for a funeral, said, oh, how many of you run here? And I wasn't original with me, as some old preacher. They said, we run a lot, but we just don't catch as many as we want. But it's the same with my world, the same as yours. Well, how big's the company, or how long you been there, how this, how all that. We get sucked up in that pride. And there's a need, though, for wisdom, and that pride keeps us from asking others for that spiritual insight. And sometimes we neglect our own needs because we're too prideful to be humble enough to ask somebody, hey, would you give me some advice about that? Amy and I had the distinct privilege of every time a pastor would come into our home, we have three children, every time they come into our home, or our church rather, or home, we'd say, well, can you give us some advice for raising these kids? Can you give us some advice? Give me advice for the church. And I tried to keep that beat down, but all of us have to struggle with that. So we see that need for wisdom. Let me give you this second one there. It looks, go on in verse number 5. I see not only the need for wisdom, but then I want you to see you're supposed to get suited up, and I show you the clothing for today. And be clothed with humility. It goes on to say, for God resisteth the proud. We should have enough enough of a defense against that pride when we just see that verse right there, which is a quote back from the Old Testament. God resisteth the proud. That's the way to get God not in on what you're doing, and giveth grace to the humble. So not only the need for wisdom in the first part of verse number 5, but then the clothing we see for today is this, clothed with humility. And that knocks the pride out of us. That word clothed means this, to tie on like an apron. Mean that you just kind of put on, if you're cooking and you're out there cooking inside or grilling outside, you put on this apron to protect the clothing underneath. You put that on. And that's what this clothed word means, to put on like an apron. And I thought about that as I was preparing for tonight. Here's a couple of things about that. One is that that's something that you and I, we can put on. That's a positive. But also, you cannot put it on. You could not be clothed with humility. Do you ever notice the commands in Scripture? God never gives you the command. Make sure your heart keeps beating. Those involuntary muscles in your body, God's already got those taken care of. But he does tell us to love one another, because he failed on that one. He does know that, or he does tell us rather to forgive one another, because he knows we fail on that one. And here's what he says here in this Scripture. And you ought to be clothed in that humility. And it, because you need to be clothed, that's why he tells us to do it for us. And he says we need to be clothed with this humility. But the truth of the matter is, you and I may not have come fully clothed today. We might have walked in these doors with a lot of pride in our hearts. We might have walked in this door, and we may go home with a lot of that. We may walk around our house without that humility that God wants us to have. We may be the one that's acting like, I know what's going on in this marriage. I'm tired of giving all that I can give, and you're not giving as much, or whichever format you're looking at. Tired of this. The clothing for today says, I ought to put this on. Did you ever notice that you can have a totally different outlook if you just stop for a little while and realize who you are, realize what God wants to do with you? Before you walk into a meeting or before you walk into your house, you can walk in and you can be railing and blaring about different things, or you can walk in with that humble spirit and say, how was things today? I love this imagery that's being clothed in there. And I was walking the other day, and I went outside and I was getting ready to go outside, and I thought it was warmer than what it was, because it had been so warm here this last week, and now we're back to where we are and we're getting worse. So, but that's all right. I thought I was dressed warm enough, but when I got outside in that cold air, I realized I didn't have enough clothes on. I had a coat on, but I didn't have too many layers on, and so I know I needed more in a hurry. The bad thing is, though, when we're not dressed up enough spiritually, we're not usually as sensitive about it. You know what we do? We just blunder our way through. You're in that marriage relationship. You've got pride and arrogance and domineering attitude. You're not close to humility. Well, that cold air doesn't smack you right in the face like it did me the other day. Oh, you might have a few whims of thoughts about it, but you just put your hand and go on, and then your spouse pays the price. I'm saying this evening that we ought to be clothed with that humility, and it tells us to, because God is proud of it. If you've got that attitude in your heart that I'm the one that's making this thing all go around, I'm the one that's able to make this thing happen, I'm the one, and it's me, that arrogance that's there, God says, I put up a little resistance toward that. God says he resists. One pastor told me, he said, John, my pastor's told me this, but he said, don't believe every complaint that people have, because sometimes, he said, check it out, make sure that's not legitimate, but he also said, don't believe every compliment, because some people just tell you things and it's kind, but it can get you thinking too high of yourself. That clothing that we ought to have is humility. Sometimes people act all humble, or they act fake humble, and they say, oh, I'm not worthy, and I'm not worth anything, and I stink at this, and I can't do as good as so-and-so. But one writer said it like this, true humility is not any of those statements. Instead, true humility is this, if that's what God wants, I can do it. Because that's putting the pressure, if you will, no, I don't mind pressure, that's putting the pressure on God, not the confidence in you. If sometime you want to look and see what pride and the lack of humility does, look back at Isaiah chapter 14. That's where Lucifer, the beautiful angel, fell and pride got him, just like we all know about. So we see the clothing that's for today at the end of verse number 5. And then I got to give you this last one before we get out of here. Look in verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, in under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I'm seeing the right time. The last point I want to give you, the right time for exaltation. The right time. There is a time to be exalted, but there's a process that goes through, and that is just to yield it to God and let him raise you up. It's not that God wants us all to stay down and just say, well, all of us are going to be of somebody else. It's just that God wants you to trust him in who gets raised up and who gets put down. Does God raise people up? Sure he does. He raises up people in a country. He raises up people in your home. He raises up people in churches. He raises up people across our nation. Brother Scott Polly is preaching wonderfully. He's preached here, and God's just give him a lot of airtime in the churches. Brother Ron Comfort, for years and years and years, preached here many times, and we'll preach again this spring sometime. But he's preached so long, and Brother Preacher Lastly has God raised him up to do what he has done here at this church. Maze Jackson, an old evangelist from yesteryear, used to give the truck driver specials on the radio. God raised him up. Yes, God does. But what we have to realize is that God does it, and we have to just be satisfied with whatever God does. Trust him. I know people that have told me, they've told me to my face, man, John, you're awful lucky. Man, you really got into a good church right there, and you lucked into that. And I say, well, I do appreciate, I said, I agree, I do think that way, but luck didn't have anything to do with it. It was just God. It was God's hand leading through there. I could be easily just back up in somewhere home in West Virginia, pastoring 10 people and working some job on the side. There's better pastors and preachers than me that are doing just that. A famous pastor that you all would know his name, he was asked at a question and answer time one time, said, who do you think the best pastor in America is? And everybody thought they knew who he would say, or thought several different ones, but they thought they knew the person he would say. He said, not the guy you're thinking. And I forget the states he said, but it was a couple like this. He said, it's probably somebody in Kentucky or West Virginia, back up in the hollers there that nobody's ever heard of. But with what resources he has and opportunity, he's probably doing a better job than the guy you're thinking of that's running 2,000 in their church somewhere. So when people say, they say, John, you're lucky, you got into a great spot right there, I say, you're right, but luck didn't have anything to do with God did. And so God just sees fit to raise people up, and I don't understand why. But he says that you ought to humble yourself before him and that he can exalt you. Now, this is a tough for us to be in. Because if you're an employee, then you want to be and you want to be there ready for promotion that your boss dishes out to somebody, but you don't want to be a show off either and just be doing it first for the sake of getting seen by the boss. And so that's where you have to walk a fine line and live for the Lord, trust him, and do the things right, whether people are watching or not, then let God exalt you or raise you as he sees fit. This is here in our area. The owner was retiring after a couple decades, and one of the employees was going to be given or sold the business, and somebody's taken over in due time. Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, and let us not be weary in doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So I started off by giving you all those statistics about social media influencers, and please don't misunderstand, I wasn't putting them down. I don't know much about that. I'm just saying that we do have a danger with our young people. They're being enticed for another line of working, a job, if you will, that you, many of you, never had in your life when you were growing up. If you'd have gone to your dad and says, you know what I want to be? I want to be a social media influencer. Your dad, you want to be a what? A tub of what? It wouldn't have even been a thing. So in that line of work, that you do have to do a lot of self-promotion. I think about people, certain businesses that you're a salesman or you're in real estate or you're all these. You have to do that. That's just the way it goes. But I challenge us in our Christian life and in our world and our family, let's be those humble people that just serve Lord, serve our family. Let God exalt as he sees fit. And so I do believe the battle for this age is that humility. Because it seems like everyone is consumed right now with self-promotion. It's hard to trust God, and it's really hard to do what the scripture says in that first phrase of verse number 6, humble yourselves. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that we would be humble people. Lord, we really don't have anything to be proud about. I didn't remember, but Brother Daniel picking that song, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Lord, that's who we are. If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me, Lord, we don't have anything to be proud about. I pray that we would be humble people. I pray that we'd be humble servants in our families. Pray that we'd be humble servants in our marriage, one to another. Humble ourselves to each other. Submit each other. Lord, help us to do this, I pray. There's too many big shots and too many folks that are trying to promote themselves. Lord, help us to trust you by faith and let you exalt as you see fit. And we'll thank you for it all. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and lead us in this hymn of invitation as they put the words on the screen. I'll be down at the front if you need to pray with me, but we just have an old-fashioned invitation. You sing with him as he comes, and this song, Have Thine Own Way. And as we sing in the invitation, if God moves on your heart, would you come?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now.
This way. Well, I trust it's been a wonderful place to be. I have a great desire for young people to grow up in church and look back on it and say, boy, I had great memories in church. I remember I played a lot in church and run around and say, did you ever run? You should lots of times. But I've done a lot of drawing and coloring in church and had fun. And so I want children to grow up having great memories of church. But then I also want us to, because one of these days, it'll be our last time. And I want the church is a wonderful gift that God has given us. And so thank you for being a part of all of it. Well, I want you please to keep praying for Ellie Laney. She's our young teenage 15-year-old, David and Amy Eller, you know, Ellie fell down the steps, had a seizure, and she was in the hospital. They had to do some procedures there, but she's back home. So keep Ellie in your prayers if you would. And then for Brother Graham, he's in Brazil. How long is he there, Nathan? Till another week or so. So pray for him down there on some mission board business and helping out the ministries down there. So keep him in your prayers as well. And then Brother Daniel will meet with the special music folks up here. And I want you to be praying for Miss Reed. Your husband's sister passed. Is that right? So Brother Alan Reed's sister passed down in Georgia. So why don't you keep that family lifted up in prayer, if you would, please. That was Wednesday, and we'll certainly be praying for them. It's been a wonderful place to be. Brother Richard Ball, thank the Lord for him and his family, and they're a great blessing to me. I'm going to ask him to dismiss us in prayer, and then we'll be heading home.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. What a privilege to come to your house and just be encouraged from your word. Thank you for our pastor and the staff. And Lord, what they do here, I pray that you just continue to have your hand upon them and their families and use them and just put a hedge of safety around them, Father. We just thank you for them. Thank you for this church and our church family. And Lord, we know there's needs within our church family. We pray that you just meet each one. Lord, those that are traveling, Brother Graham and others, Lord, give them traveling grace and safety. Watch over them. Lord, those that are in the hospital, just touch their bodies and heal them, if it be thy will. And Father, we know there's loss, there's voids in some of our families and our church families. Lord, I pray you just touch and comfort them in this time. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. We love you, and just thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.